This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's 8:47 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. As we take a look at news that Kereta Api Tanah Melayu Berhad, or KTMB, may be looking to venture into property development soon. They say they want to unlock the value of their property in the Klang Valley, so they could go into this segment as early as next year.
That's right, Melissa. So this 151-year-old state-owned rail operator said that its land bank could generate projects worth some 6 billion ringgit. Okay, and its chief executive officer, Mohammad Rani Hisham Samsudin, said that this is part of their initiative to increase income from its non-fare segment.
So non-fare, I take it, would mean ticketed stuff. So passenger pay tickets and all.
Correct,
that.
That's right. And KTMB is looking at various pockets of opportunities for pieces of land neighbouring their stations. This is to unlock the value and subsequently improve contribution to their revenue from the non-fare segments. So you can see they're diversifying in a bit.
Yeah, and they need this sooner rather than later, you know, given the losses that these guys have sustained over the past few decades, right? Looking at the 2015 financial year alone, okay, KTM's net loss widened to over 226 million ringgit. That's almost, what, 5-6 times compared to 2014's total, okay? So these guys are bleeding money. Obviously, the money that they're charging for those who are riding those KTM trains, not enough to cover their operational costs. I think like they had to be subsidized to the tune of like 25%, right? Because I think the charges that they impose on those who are traveling on KTM trains, it only covers the 75%. In fact, if you look at budget 2018, the Prime Minister has allocated 55 million ringgit in subsidies just for the trip from Tumpat to Guamusang, both in Kelantan. Now, granted, it's quite a ways away. It's like a 3-hour drive between Tumpat and Guamusang. But still, that one journey alone will cost, or that one path
stretch
alone, 55 million ringgit that taxpayers had to fork out.
That's right, Han. So, if talking about that, that's why KTM is seeking a fare hike. Because they need that in a way. They need that to decline the operating costs, the increase in operating costs. If you look at from an accumulated losses point of view, right, at the end of 2015, that was around 2 billion ringgit.
Well, you know, KTM specifically is in a bit of a special predicament, I'd say, because they serve a dual mandate, right? It's not just about profitability, but it's also about serving the community.
Correct,
especially
the
non-urban community. Think about KTM's connections intercity and intra-city. Mm. They serve a lot of the suburban community as well.
Right.
So perhaps, you know, a rate hike, oh, sorry, excuse me, not a rate hike, like a central bank, a fare hike would be somewhat contentious, especially when it comes to, you know, servicing the poorer communities outside of KL.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they're looking to grow their revenue elsewhere. Perhaps, you know, not increasing the tickets prices may not be the best way to increase revenue. Go and look at property development or something.
Yeah, that's
else,
right, that's right. I think that's why they need to change their business model around, right? And they're looking at strategies to boost their non-fare revenue. Property development is one. They're also looking at perhaps a advertising segment. You know, the outdoor advertising, like what MRT is doing, you know, that could also bring in, that's also a new kind of income that they could look at besides fare. So looking at their fare revenue is generated from two business segments. So that's just passenger and cargo. Mm. So for now, that's just their income coming right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but when it comes to diversification in corporate Malaysia, first thing is property. It's like everybody just go to property. What on
earth?
Hey,
don't you want to live near a station? I mean, think about that, the connectivity, right?
That's
the idea, the transit-oriented development.
You got to deal with the noise as well.
Yeah, but KTM also has a lot of land. I mean, like land bank, right?
Sure.
So if they then just unlock that. Because if they have all that, why not?
Well, I mean, I would hope that when they do go into property development, they'll be able to avoid the same mistakes that when it comes to upgrading their infrastructure, okay? Because, you know, we got P. Gunasegaram, you know, he's a regular on our Pressing Matters show every Monday. He wrote an article a few months back talking about the 36 billion ringgit wastage when it comes to the double tracking of KTM's lines. You know, he uses some really strong words. He describes that as basically one of the biggest infrastructure failures here in Malaysia. So hopefully they've turned a corner. And with KTM, you know, and also other government-linked entities here in Malaysia, it's about, you know, breaking away from these legacy issues, right? I mean, will property development be the saving grace? I mean, let's hope so.
There's a new guy in charge at KTM, if I'm not mistaken.
The CEO. Yeah, he effective in September. Mm-hmm. He just came on, and he was in a transportation link kind of company as well.
Okay.
Coming back to KTM, earlier this year, Deputy Transport Minister Dato Abdul Aziz Kabrawi said that KTM may finally achieve profitability in next year, like end of next year, FY2018.
I remember trying to interview KTM back in 2012, many years ago, and they said, oh, we're going to achieve profitability next year. Several years ago.
So, well,
isn't this another instance of on the way?
On the way.
Exactly. So, Malaysian trait, on the way.
That should be Malaysia's slogan, right? Everything is on the way. High income status, full democracy, profitability for KTM. Yeah, you meeting up somebody for dinner. On the way.
Well, they are going to implement the Railway Network Access Agreement that is going to drive the national railway company's profitability, because the agreement will enable KTMB to focus on providing train services. And this Railway Assets Corp, which is wholly owned by the Transport Ministry, will handle the maintenance for rolling stocks and rail assets.
Okay, so they're going to restructure, perhaps looking to be more efficient. Mm-hmm. But since we were talking about the property sector, guys, there was some new data that came out from NAPIC, or the National Property Information Centre, and that data showed that the number of unsold property in the country had increased by 40%. This is up to 21,000 for the first half of the year. So 21,000 unsold units. What's going on?
So property consultants say that many developers build properties below 500,000, but buyers are purchasing properties from the secondary market below 300,000. So you can see supply and demand kind of mismatch in a way. So developers, the consultants are saying developers need to change their strategies and adjust to market conditions. An example is like if they build properties above 1 million ringgit, they are currently addressing only 20% of the market.
Okay, so that makes sense, because at first when I saw this data, my first instinct was, wait a minute, are you telling me there's an overhang of 40%? But yet I still hear the anecdotal evidence is that I can't afford to buy a house, you know, I can't get on the property ladder, what's going on? So this is essentially saying that there's a mismatch between the supply and the demand.
Yeah, and NAPIC's data also showed that 83% of residential transactions fell within 300,000 ringgit and below. So you can see that the mismatch in supply and demand, but the general view is that the market will start to see a recovery next year. I mean, that's the general view and hope, I guess.
Yeah.
We've hit bottom and then we're just going to go up.
And this isn't something new, though, because Bank Negara in the 2016 annual report, they had a box article addressing this very issue as well. Essentially, the unaffordability of housing. I think, Joyce, we spoke about this a few weeks ago. Central Bank came out with a website, right, like dedicated to this topic. So obviously, when it comes to these developers, they are pricing it way beyond the reach of what the average Malaysian can afford. And also keeping in mind the financial standing of the current crop of potential home buyers, far cry from where it was generations ago, right? Can't even afford that 10% down payment. So that mismatch here, which goes to show, with NAPIC. Mm-hmm. NAPIC, yeah, saying it at 41%,
Well, some property developers are doing quite well despite the property overhang. There's good news at Paramount Corporation, which is a property and education group.
Yeah, so its 9-month sales of 633 million ringgit surpassed the 2016 full year sales of 402 million ringgit. And unbilled sales at the end of quarter three stood at 588 million ringgit. So from a net profit perspective, that has doubled from 44 million ringgit to 108 million ringgit. But this is because there's a one-off gain there.
What is this one-off gain?
Yeah, what is that one-off gain?
Well, they have this one-off gain of 77 million ringgit for the disposal of a Street KDU campus.
Oh, okay.
So if you take that out...
Or into the REIT. Is that the
if
one
you take that out, okay. Yeah, they disposed this Street KDU campus. So if you take out the one-off gain, the earnings was actually 8 million ringgit against 11 million ringgit.
Okay. You know, I just want to take a look at Paramount as a property company, right? So every time you say Paramount, you think, okay, property developer. But if you look at the recent earnings, we can actually see that the education business contribution has surpassed the property contribution for its profit before tax. It's quite a big difference now.
That's right, Melissa. So looking at the latest 9-month earnings, the contribution to profit before tax from education was 64%. This was up from last year, that was only 35%.
Yeah.
It's like switch now.
Yeah.
So can we still call them property company? Oh, education company. Core business, right? What's the core business?
Eduproti. But edu, I don't know.
Stop making stuff up.
Producation. No, but guys, if you listen to the Breakfast Grill that we did with Paramount a few months ago, he had a really a bullish outlook when it comes to the education space. So he's talking about reaching 500,000 students across Malaysia. I mean, that's huge. At least that's the potential there, right? So that's why they're going aggressively into the education space, not just when it comes to KDU, but they're moving down to the younger age groups as well. They have got Sri KDU, which is the primary and secondary school. They're even moving into early childhood education. In the grill, he speaks about how, you know, they don't have the expertise right now, but over the next 5 years, they want to get that expertise, move in that, into that space, because, hey, Joyce, you know this, you know, you got kids, you will spend a kidney and a lung, right? To finance a kid's education. So just a kidney really, only. Penang, this kidney only.
Well, it really depends on circumstances, because we have two, so really have to look at.
But you're willing to spend on your kid's education.
Just pick your favorite.
No, all the same.
That's a lie right there.
Right, but really, I mean, if you want to listen to that interview with Jeffrey Chu, the group CEO, we spoke to him on the Breakfast Grill recently. You can listen to the full conversation by downloading our app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. We've got the 9 o'clock news bulletin coming up next with Sabrina Magdalene. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.